The Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. The message I'm bringing you today is a message that has ran in sequence on our radio broadcast to the listening audience, and we're thankful that it goes out to the nations of the world from that little bitty station in that little bitty town in North Florida. And it's a message to God's people. It's a message to you and I here today. Amen. I feel like a keynote speaker at some conference at the beginning of a brand new year, because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking concerning the heart of God, what He wills and purposes to do. We're a people with great needs, and we have a God who enjoys meeting those needs. My Bible said that He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. I'm not talking about how much money you have in your bank account. I'm talking about whether or not you can qualify for an answered prayer. I'd rather have a prayer answering God than to have a bank account full of money. Back in the 30s, the banks failed. As I understand, I'm from the 40s, but late 40s, but hallelujah. The banks failed, and people jumped out of windows and shot their brains out because everything they had was tied up in their money and possessions. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich is not just how much stuff we acquire. Amen. It's having God available to you when you need Him to do things that you couldn't buy with all the money in the world. Some people think if you won lotto that you would have it made and it would solve all of your problems. You ought to do a little history sometime on the web of people who have won that. And some families divorced. I know a man who is a relative of a family member of ours who won $7 million. His daughter on drugs was killed on a bicycle. Plant City, the wife of this new millionaire, she became so depressed she began to drink herself to death with sorrow because she didn't have peace, couldn't find peace in her heart. If you can't find peace in your heart, money won't solve your problem, because you can't buy peace. It's not for sale in any marketplace in the world. But Jesus did say, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives." It's different from the world. It's not based on the immediate circumstance you may find yourself in, but the promise that no matter what you're facing, God will give you grace, God will give you peace, God will give you help for your hurt. He will go with you through this world. He promised, "I won't leave you, I will not forsake you." He will keep His promise. But you can't look to something or someone else for that answer. You've got to set your gaze upon Jesus. God wants you postured to where He can help you. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. So many folks haven't discovered that. So many folks haven't decided that. You've got to make a decision about that. Can you say, "Man, my God is faithful"? Amen. If you doubt that, you're in deep trouble today. Listen to this very carefully. Psalm 67, and God be merciful unto us and bless us. Cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. Let that sink in. Just pause here. If this is actually a musical term in a sense, because it means there's a pause right here. There's a pause. Selah. But it really means to be still and quietly contemplate what you've just heard. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Isn't that what we need? It's His mercy and His blessing. Absolutely. Not His frown, but His good pleasure. Amen. That Thy way may be known upon the earth, Thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations of the earth. Selah. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and the ends of the earth shall fear Him. When they see what? When they see that our God is the true and the living God. He's the faithful one. He's the covenant-keeping God. He's the God who brings glory to His name by doing good in the lives of His people. But you can't go wandering into sin and looking to the world for what only He can give you. It's not God's unfaithfulness that causes our problems. It's our unfaithfulness to God. And that's what tripped up ancient Israel again and again. Every time they messed up and refused to repent and got into trouble, they accused God of being unfaithful. They said things to Him like they did in Malachi. Wherefore do we pray to Thee and Thou dost not answer? We fast and You don't take notice. They accused God of being unfaithful. And if the devil can convince you that God has given you a bad deal and that God is withholding something from you, if you get honest before God, if you get real before God, you're going to have to acknowledge that your own sin got you troubles in your life, not God's unfaithfulness. My sin and your sin. You know what God said to ancient Israel in the midst of their accusations of unfaithfulness? He said, "My hand is not short that it cannot save." You do not serve an impotent God, but an omnipotent God. Hallelujah. Amen. My hand is not short that it cannot save. My ear is not heavy. I'm not hard of hearing that it cannot hear. But your sin has separated between you and your God. If we're going to posture people for blessings, we got to settle the sin issue. And I don't run from that. I run to Him for cleansing. If you can preach me in an altar, preacher, Brother Norman, if you can preach something that puts me in an altar, preach on, brother. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit. And take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, and restore unto me. Restore unto me the joy of Your salvation. Let me see my prayers answered again. Let me see my enemies defeated again. Let me see Your help come again. Can you say amen? Restore the blessing of Your help. Then, not because of my bumper sticker, but my life, then shall sinners be converted unto Thee. And transgressors will learn Your way. Can you say amen? Because they'll see there is a prayer answering God. There is a God that will help. There is a God that will answer. But they got to see more than your bumper sticker. And they got to see more than your church attendance. They need to see a life that says that God's hand is upon me and I am His handiwork. Hallelujah. He wants to mark us with blessing. Listen what the Bible scholars say about this. This great commentary, there's four volumes, little fine print. Jameson Fawcett Brown, well-respected Bible schools used it. They got newer ones now, but it goes back to the same truth. Jameson Fawcett Brown said in their commentary on this verse of Scripture, these portions of Scripture, a prayer that by God's blessing on His people, His salvation and praise may be extended over the earth. That by God's blessing on His people, that His salvation and praise may be extended over all the earth. You can argue theological points with different religions and world religions all day long, but you can't argue with a miracle. They tried to argue theologically when the blind man, they wanted to know how did that happen? By what authority did this happen? A man that couldn't see now is seeing. And they said, who sinned? Let's be theological about this. Who sinned? His mama, his daddy, what brought this upon him? And we're trying to figure all this other stuff out. And the blind man that was so overjoyed over seeing wouldn't enter into their theological dialogue. Amen. You know what he said? He said, all I know is when this man touched me, I was blind, but now I see. You all discuss all the theology of it and whether or not it was legal or not, or whether or not it operated outside your auspices. But listen, I got places to go and people to see. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Amen. So y'all sit around and argue. Churches are notorious for arguing about whether you got to be sprinkled or immersed, or one guy baptized a guy and his nose was left out. I mean, prominent nose, I guess. Can you say, man? He didn't put him all the way under, and he said, wait a minute, your nose was sticking out. His proboscis. So he put him down again. He said, the guy thought it was over. He said, come back here, your nose was sticking out. And he plunged him on in. You ask the blind man any of those questions, he said, all I can tell you is this. When I encountered Jesus, I was blind. Now I can see. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And Jesus said, if you don't believe my words, believe for the works' sake. For the works' sake. Never a man spake like this man. Can you, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible said that Jesus did not speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus spoke as one having authority. Can you say amen? Glory. What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him? Can you say amen? Oh yeah. What kind of man is this? See, this is the difference. We can't just argue our theology. We got Bible students that are so biblically astute, we think we don't need the power of God, the presence of God, and the blessing of God anymore. We're wrong about that. He told them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, the Lord working with them. Confirming the word with signs following. Somebody said, preacher, we got the Bible. That's right. And this Bible tells us that there's a living, listening, lifting God, hallelujah, that answers prayer, that helps us in the time of trouble, that blesses his people, that distinguishes us as his people, and distinguishes himself as our God. Hallelujah. Woo! Don't tell me we got a book and we don't need the God that the whole book is about. This book is not like a rabbit's foot. It's not a good luck charm. That's right, bro. Hallelujah. It's a promise book. It's a revelation of God himself. It's a revelation of Jesus. So, Jameson Fawcett Brown said it's a prayer in Psalm 67. That by God's blessing on his people, his salvation and praise may be extended over all the earth. The New International said, God blesses us that all the ends of the earth might fear him, reverence him, honor him, recognize him, revere him. And one paraphrase said, God marks us with blessing. See, if you don't want to get postured for blessing because you got some sweetheart sin that you don't want to give up, I'm going to tell you something. You're making a bad deal with the devil. He's telling you, keep the sin and forfeit the blessing. God is saying, get rid of the sin so I can bless you. To me, it's a no-brainer. There's no sin, no matter how satisfying to our flesh, that should be more important than God's blessing on our life. And whatever you think you may be giving up, you're just making more room for God to fill you up. And when God fills you up, it's more satisfying than any sin. How do you know, Brother Bumble? Because I was lost before I got saved. And I was lost long enough to enjoy, can I say that? My flesh indulged itself. There was nothing hardly off limits to me if it gratified my flesh concerning sin. You say, Brother Miller, what all did you do? None of your beeswax. Can you say amen? That's all under the blood of Jesus Christ. But I did enough to know the difference between what God can give you and what the world offers you. Can you say amen? I've been there, done that. Amen. But now I'm here doing this. And I'm going to tell you, the journey does get sweeter every single day. Hallelujah. I wouldn't trade. Oh, you know what David said? He said, a day in your courts. One day in proximity to this wonderful God. One day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I'm talking about Disney World, Hawaii. Cruise to Alaska. Amen. The Bahamas. One day. One day. I'll trade 10,000 elsewhere for that one day in your courts. Hallelujah. Praise God. And David had a very limited revelation and realization of the presence and person of God. We have the full-blown blessing. Can you say amen in the new covenant? Oh, if David had been here today, he would have danced. 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 Moses saw the Red Sea part. Amen. But he was looking beyond the miracle of the Red Sea parting and the deliverance from Egypt. He was looking to our day. He knew there's something better coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Abraham looked beyond the blessings he had in his life in his day. And the Bible said he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. Matthew Henry, a very respected commentary, commenting on these verses of Scripture, said, there are people in the world that can, upon good grounds, call God their God. It is here spoken with an air of triumph. Even our own God shall bless us. Everybody say an air of triumph. Where's the victory? Where's the victory? Where's this air of triumph? We used to sing it about blessing the Lord with shout unto God with the voice of triumph. This psalm is ringing with the voice of triumph. Moshalabakesiti andarabaka. Mekolobo hosandaraba. How did that song go? Does anybody remember? Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Praise Him, praise Him. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. And you know something? We used to crank that thing up. We used to get it going. We used to get it going so fast I had to almost speak in tongues to sing it. Can you say amen? I'm telling you. But there was victory. Amen. Blessed are the people that do what? Know what? The joyful sound. When God's people begin to praise Him with the voice of triumph. What does triumph mean? That means an enemy has been defeated. Amen. An enemy has been vanquished. God has given victory to His people. And His people are singing His praise with the voice of triumph. Can you say amen? From a position of victory. We're not victims. We're victors in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Woo! Amen, brother. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Even our God, shall what? Shall bless us. That's why Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need. You may not understand Him enough and your relationship to Him through Jesus Christ to speak of Him possessively and personally, but I do. My God will come through. My God won't let you down. My God will help you. My God will bless you. Can you say amen? My God will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. My God shall do that. Voice of triumph. He spoke it with the voice of triumph. Can you say amen? We need to hear somebody saying what God said. Just lining up with the Word of God. Say, Brother Bevel, I'm so depressed and oppressed and depressed. I understand, and I'm not making light of it. And I'm not asking you to just put on some kind of phony smile for Sunday. Amen. To look better, because it's a lot of the standard answer in an audience is, I'm fine. I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. Well, I'm glad you do that, because we just don't have time. If I told you all the things that I'm facing and challenges, you don't have time. I don't have time. I don't want to be like the preacher that said he was in Louisiana going across a bridge over a river. And it was late at night, and he saw a guy standing, looked like he's getting ready. First his car was parked, guy standing, looked like he's getting ready to jump in the river. And he stopped and backed up, jumped out of his car, and he said, sir, he said, I'm concerned about you. He said, let's talk about it. Don't do anything rash. Let's talk about it. He said, what could be possibly so bad that you would have this attitude? And the man, for an hour and a half, poured it out. And when he got through, they both jumped in. I'm going to tell you something. You're either going to lift somebody up or they're going to bring you down. I've had people argue with everything that I brought from the Word of God to lift up. Amen. I know the Bible says it, but I know the Bible says this, but see, this, I'm not making light of depression. I've been in that place. I went through nervous exhaustion, and it put me in a hole. When David said he lifted me from the miry clay, I've been in it. It's a place you can't extract yourself from. Norman Vincent Peale can't help you down in that hole. Positive thinking won't pull you out. Amen. I'm going to tell you something else. You need a positive confession, but the confession in and of itself, you can't extract yourself with your confession unless your trust is in the Lord. David said, here's my positive confession. He hath lifted me from the miry clay. He hath put my feet upon a rock. And he put a song in my heart. And the humble, in the negative sense, crushed by life, shall hear of it. And they will be glad. Why? Because there's hope now. Because there's a prayer answering God that is helping somebody down here. There's hope for me if I come to that God and I trust in that God. When they hear about what God did for David, they're going to have courage and hope. The broken people that are crushed by life, that are so deep in depression, their hope is gone and they can't see no way out, they're going to be glad. They're going to be glad, which means literally they're going to be hopeful. Because hope in Scripture is the glad anticipation of future good. You say, Brother Venable, it's been so long. I understand. David fully understands. Amen. He said, how long, O Lord? How long? How long? You can feel his hurt, and it's continuing for a season. But the Bible said in the New Testament that after you have suffered for a while, he will strengthen, establish, and settle you. Can you say, man, out of this suffering experience in your life, God is going to build a strong, durable faith that cannot be shaken. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, though you be tried as by fire, it's not going to harm you in the end result if you will trust him through the flame. Amen. The end result with that, you will come forth. You will not be destroyed by it. You will not be debilitated. You will come through it. And you will come through better than when you went in that furnace. Hallelujah. Praise God. You will come forth as pure gold. All of the weak flesh, all of the sins, all of the things between you and God have been purged out. So don't give up. The voice of triumph is coming because victory is coming. And when it does, upon God's people, His name is exalted among the nations. Can you say amen? He does it for our good and His glory. Everybody say that He does it for our good and His glory. It's a win-win. God is glorified. His people are helped. God has distinguished Himself as the true and the living God. And we are distinguished as His people. As we said in this week's radio broadcast, I quoted a psalm that said, we are the sheep of His pasture. We are the people of His hand. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? He said that He would not be ashamed to be called our God. And He would not be ashamed to call us His people. Can you say amen? We get to speak of Him as our own God. My God shall supply. Can you say amen? And He speaks of us as His own people. Praise the Lord. He speaks paternally as a father, possessively as an owner. Amen. And it's good to be owned by this wonderful Master. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm not my own anymore. Praise the Lord. It is here spoken with an air of triumph. Even our own God shall bless us. Believers have reason, he goes on to say, to glory in their relation to God. That means to boast. Those who through grace call God their own may with humble confidence expect blessing from Him. God is not just the force in the universe. He's become our heavenly Father. He's not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is our Father, which art in heaven. And the Bible said through the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Aramaic for Dada. Amen. Isn't that incredible that we have this kind of relationship that we can call Him our God? So it begins in a way that sounds familiar to the prayer of Jabez. Actually, it's more closely echoes the blessing that Aaron and his descendants said over the people of Israel, as recorded in Numbers 6, if you want to read that sometime. But the first two, it's deeper than the prayer of Jabez. It's not some kind of magic thing you recite. This is a real relationship between God and His people. First two verses of the psalm says, God be gracious unto us and bless us. Cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among all nations. The psalmist asked for blessing so that God's ways may be known on the earth. The psalmist is saying, in effect, bless me so that I might glorify You. Bless me that I might show Your power, Your love, Your majesty, and Your goodness to all nations. Yeah. Amen. Listen to what he's not saying. Now listen carefully, because your flesh will try to just take the blessing to consume it on yourself with no regard to the glory of God. It's the wrong reason. Listen, everybody building their faith to get what they want instead of what He wills are not interested in His glory at all. He doesn't answer. You're disappointed. Accuse Him of unfaithfulness. The Bible said you have not in the book of James because you ask not. You don't make God your source. And you ask and receive not. And it's not even a lack of faith. Isn't that amazing? You think you just build your faith, you get anything you want. No, you can have everything He wills. But you can't have anything you want. But you can have everything He wills. You ask amiss. You ask and receive not. Because you ask amiss. To do what? To consume it on yourself. No regard for God's glory. Just give me what I want. Yeah. Give me what I want and I'll serve God. God, You give me this answer, I'll serve You. God gave You Jesus on the cross. Don't barter anything else. You need Jesus, friend. You need to escape the flames of hell. You don't just need God to make your life convenient. You need God to give you grace to get through the inconveniences of life and the hurts and the heartaches of life. You need His peace reigning within you. Can you say amen? You think peace is going to come when every prayer is answered and everything is put just the way you would like it. There's no such world in this world. How many are still in this world? A few people didn't raise your hand. It was late, but we got it. Thank you very much. She didn't want to come be included in what's coming next. I knew there were extraterrestrials, and now we have the proof right here. Amen. Aliens are here among us. In this world, this fallen world, you will have tribulation. You can't escape it. There's no place of hyper faith to escape it. But He said, be of good cheer. What? Cheer up about that? Yes. I have overcome it. I'm your God. I am with you. I have faced it. I've defeated it. If it takes your peace, I can give you my peace. If it beats you down, I can lift you up. Can you say amen? Be of good cheer. If your heart is broken, I can mend it. If everything is gone, I can give you beauty for ashes. I don't need a foundation. I don't need one standing wall. It can all burn to the ground. You can be toe up from the flow up. Can you say amen? But I can fix you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I can give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when He does it, and thou shalt be called, after He restores you, thou shalt be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. People are going to see you and know me. People are going to see you and see my handiwork. For you are my workmanship. Can you say amen? Halaba kosanda. Breshala baditi. Kosola netana marata. My wife got a phone that upgraded because she got envious of mics. And I prayed that she would cast down that envy. But I saw Mike showing his phone to her, and I said, "Boy, we're gonna have an upgrade around here. That thing will talk to you." A friend of ours came over and was showing her how to work it. He said, "Ask it anything." She said, "How many? What is the population of Plant City, Florida?" And this real nice talking lady came on and said, 34,322 or something like that. And he said, "Yeah, go ahead, ask it anything." I said, "What are the winning lotto numbers?" We'll put that sucker to the test, see if it's worth all that money. Just kidding. I don't want to know the. I don't want. You know all those people on TV that can tell you everything? Look like they'd just go hit the lotto and they wouldn't have to do that on TV and sell you anything. All these people that know all this stuff. It don't work for them. Yeah. What works for them is fleecing us. I understand how that works. Amen. See, the difference in God's blessing is not based on the roll of the dice, the spin of the wheel. God wants to posture His people. That's why He's calling us to holiness. It's not to deprive us of some gratifying thing that we need. Think we need. It's to bring us into a place where He can actually posture us for blessing. Where He can legitimately command the blessing upon us. When Israel's right with God, you don't want to get wrong with them. Can you say amen? When Israel's wrong with God, you could defeat them. But when they were right with God, you better let them alone. But when a man's ways please the Lord. Amen. Now, I've tried to please people for 40 years as a pastor. I finally got it through my head. Brother Norman, yeah, I got it through my head. Or brother. Yes, Norman, I got it right. Praise God. I got it through my head. Jesus couldn't please everybody. And it's not that I'm callous, but I'm not going to make everybody happy, even in this church. There'll be times you're unhappy with what I preach and what I do, and just with me in general. I'm going to fail you in some way. I am certain of it. How do you know? Because people have been telling me how I failed them for 40 years. I'm not going to be enough. But I'm not going to give you me. I'm not presenting me. I'm presenting Jesus. I like what Paul said, Brother Taylor. We preach Jesus and ourselves, your servants for his sake. But we don't put ourselves in front of him. Hallelujah. We preach Jesus and ourself, your servant, for his sake. I'm going to offer you through the scripture everything that Jesus was and everything that he has for you and what he's done for you. You've got to reach out at some point by faith and receive it. Can you say amen? I can't be your peace. I can't be your confidence. I can't be your consolation. But I know a man who can. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I know one who can. And him I declare Sunday after Sunday. And one Sunday, I am convinced somebody is going to reach out by faith and get a hold of the hand of the man from Galilee. Hallelujah. And God's going to lift you up and establish you. And he's going to bring glory to his name. Let me hurry. Time is fleeting. Time is fleeting. He's not saying, bless me so I can be comfortable. That means watch TV without pain. He's not saying, bless me so I don't have to work and make a living. He's not saying, bless me so others will be envious of me. He's not saying, bless me so that I can be successful in the eyes of the world. I said something about my dad at his memorial service. I said he wasn't a big shot, nor did he aspire to be. Saddest thing about his 93 years was, to me, as his only son, is when I went and got all of his possessions, all of his clothing and earthly possessions, in two black garbage bags. Two bags. 93 years of life. We brought nothing into this world, and we're not going to take anything of this world out of this world. But godliness with contentment. Give daddy a piece of coconut pie and somebody with a guitar so he could play the fiddle with. And there's somebody, praying. There's somebody sitting in a penthouse. Tore up stomach, messed up mind. Drinking champagne, eating fish eggs. Caviar. Drinking champagne, eating caviar. I'd rather have me a trout, some grits and hush puppies. You eat the fish eggs, me and Terry gonna eat that fish. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm gonna go to bed happy. Joyful, salty. You tasted those fish eggs. I wouldn't even touch them if I saw them. They look, they belong in, take that out of the fish before you cook him. Can you say amen? Godliness with what? Contentment. Be content with such things as you have. Amen. Because he said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Be content when the whole world tells you that you can't be happy without this and that. I'm not talking about living without. Listen, we had an outdoor toilet until I was 12 years old. Mike laughing. He can't imagine anybody going to an outhouse in Florida. Maybe back in Kentucky where I'm from. Alabama. Mississippi. Mango, Florida. Amen. Sefner. Alabama. Yes. And we thought we were. I was proud of our outhouse. Yeah. I'm proud of it. You know why I was proud of it? Because it was a two-seater. When I was much smaller, we had a one-seater. And if you had to go really bad, I mean, there's things you can do, you know, outside in the dark. But there's things you would rather not do outside in the dark. And so We had a one-seater. If it was occupied, you had to wait for that one seat to be given up. My daddy said, "Hey, we're moving up. Build me a two-seater out here." I'll tell you, we had a two-seater, but I never went in there when somebody was in there. Anywho. There's some things you're just not comfortable, you know. Spiders would get in there. Them great big old spiders and snakes and stink. You could get the spiders and snakes out, but you couldn't get that stink out. So I was so glad when we got indoor plumbing. I come back from Jamaica. I come back to Jamaica, went into the airport, not Jamaica, Haiti, where we'd held outdoor meetings, slept in tents, and held a crusade in Pion. Had no electricity, no running water. They had outhouses built for the people that came to that meeting, and there was 10,000 plus that came to the meeting. It was always filled. So you found yourself wandering out into the dark somewhere, and it was just, when I got to the airport and could walk into a porcelain commode and a sink and running water. Thank you, Jesus. See, everybody else waiting on that Mercedes. Everybody else waiting on that diamond ring, that bling bling. Hey, amen. You give me a bathroom with porcelain. Have you come out of a third world country? Give me a bathroom with porcelain fixtures and clean running water. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen? I'm serious. Thank you, Jesus. This is so nice. Oh, friend of mine, what God has done, what He's going to do. America's a consumer-driven society. Amen. We need to understand how blessed we are. Amen. God is going to help us with our bills. God's going to help us with all of that. It's coming, but God is going to heal us, and God is going to bless us, and God is going to bring us up into His presence and power and send us out in the power and authority of His great name. Hallelujah. Amen. When I tell somebody about Jesus, I want to do it with the voice of triumph. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. He's not saying bless me so I can be successful in the eyes of the world. Listen real careful. He's not even saying bless me so I can bless others primarily. That's part of the reason for blessing. But that's not the ultimate reason for blessing. He's saying, bless me and bless the nation of Israel. Bless your people so that your name will be glorified among the peoples of the earth. So that your name will be distinguished from the gods who are no gods. And your people will be distinguished as a people that belong to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's a biblical reason for God's blessing. He makes it explicit in His call to Abraham in Genesis 12. By all means, God blesses us and gifts us so that we might serve and bless others. But still, this is not the underlying fundamental reason for God's blessing. God blesses us first and foremost so that we can bring glory to His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to His name. Praise God. Now, where could we go from here? Now that we know it's His will, it's His intent, that it's a win-win. The next stage of this is not just to acknowledge God wants to bless us, but to posture ourselves, get in a position so He can. Israel right with God, blessings rested upon them. Couldn't defeat them. Part of the blessing was your enemies. And I can't get into all of that today. They'll come out against you one way. They'll come with the intent of destroying you. But they'll flee before you seven ways. Seven is God's number for complete or perfect. The victory I'm going to give you is absolute, complete, and perfect. Hallelujah. One of you can chase 1,000. Two of you, in agreement, it multiplies. Put 10,000 to flight. What more should we say to these things? Paul said, if God be for us, who can be against us? When a man's ways please the Lord, he's even able to make his enemies be at peace with him. I'm going to tell you what the Bible said about pleasing God. I'm going to tell you what the Bible said about posturing, getting in the position so that God can legitimately bless you. It's not just a faith issue. You have not because you ask not. That's a faith issue. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on yourself. That's not a faith issue. That's an attitude of the heart that is not wanting to bring glory to God, but just comfortableness and success to yourself. Can you say amen? And that's why the faith message without the dedication to God message is not working. It's not producing the result. And in many circles, God is being accused of unfaithfulness. He is faithful. We're the unfaithful ones. And I'm going to stand right up and say, I have missed it on more than one occasion. And I love the word that brings me back, that hems me in, that illuminates my path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my pathway. Can you say, man, I can see where I missed it. I can choose to get back on the right path. And it's called a path of righteousness. For whose name's sake? Amen. He will lead you in a path of righteousness. Here it is. Here it is. You're going to be blessed. You're going to walk in victory. The devil's going to have to flee. Amen. For whose name's sake? To make you a big name? No. He will lead you in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Can you say amen? When we overcome the enemy and the flesh and the world, his name is glorified. Amen. So this posturing us for blessing, getting us ready, it's, the Word of God is full of those things that God said, you do this, I'll do that. On one occasion he says, prove me herewith. Put me to the test. The test of what? My integrity. Whether or not my promise is good, whether or not I'll make it good. How can you possibly put God to the test? He said, obey me in the thing that I test the promise to, and you'll be putting me to the test. Your test is whether you're going to obey it or not. My test is whether I'm going to bless you for it. I'm not going to fail my test. God don't fail his test. We fail ours. And I want to be your Holy Ghost tutor. Amen. Prove me herewith, saith God. We're not talking about money. We're talking about honoring him and expressing that through obedience. And see if I won't open unto you the windows of heaven. There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Somebody opened the windows up there. Can you say amen? And pour you out a blessing. That there shall not be room enough for you to contain it. Clear this middle aisle. Hallelujah. It's coming. It's coming back to God's people. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Bubba, I don't want to hear that part about my part of this thing. Well, you're not hit bottom yet. You haven't been down low enough yet. You've got some depths to plumb. When you get down far enough, you'll want to hear how to be right with God. And be blessed of God and to be helped by the Lord and get your prayers answered. Can you say amen? You say, Brother Vimble, you've been preaching this for years and yet you had a stroke. That's right. And I'm sure glad I've been listening to what I've been preaching. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad I knew what to do. Oh, Brother Vimble, when you hit the floor, did you cry out to God and stand on your faith? No, I forgave somebody. I forgot that I hadn't. I thought I'd already forgiven, but I was reminded gently and firmly. When I hit the floor and my head bounced off of it and I couldn't get up. This side of my body is dead and the arm's like an old piece of meat and I couldn't even holler out loud enough to get Pamela to hear me. First thought that zoomed into my mind was a person that I had went before the Lord. I said I forgive, but I remember mulling it over. Every time I heard that person's name, it would mull over. And I thought, I ain't really done that. When you need a miracle, I'm going to talk to you. Listen when I speak to you. Obey my voice. I'll show you my glory as I promised, saith God. Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. See, we want somebody to come in, say we can bypass this pure heart, this right spirit, just use our faith to get our answers. That is not in this Bible. Israel could confess, believe, and do everything. Listen, you have not because you ask not. That is a faith issue. You ask and receive not. That's not a faith issue anymore. Something else is going. Because you ask amiss, it's not for God's glory. It is just for your gain. It is to gratify your flesh, to get what you want. I'll serve you if you'll do this. Honey, you don't have anything to bargain with God with. You need grace and mercy. You can't bargain with God. God, I'll serve you if you'll do this for me. No, no, no. He did that for you at Calvary. You don't have a bargaining chip anymore. Hey, man, you need to. Oh, my God. Don't come to the communion table to bargain with God. Come to agree to unconditional surrender. Amen. And God will bless you with a blessing. And the first blessing and the greatest blessing of all is His peace in your heart. Regardless of your hurt, the circumstance, the loneliness, and the emptiness, God will fill you with Himself, and He will make up that space. Oh, is God big enough to fill that vacuum in your soul? He's big enough to fill this universe. I know He can fill you and me up. Hallelujah. God can do it. So the Lord told me, He said, I want to bless you in your house this year. I want you to get everything wrong that's wrong right. So when I hit the floor, I said, Lord, I forgive, and I by name, I call the name of the person. First thing I did, I knew, ain't no need. Listen, this is serious. Either God's going to raise me up or take me home. And it wasn't because I was afraid of dying. Because actually, the peace of God had wrapped me. I was laying in the floor in that condition, and the peace of God was on me. I just felt like, you know, it would be so easy to go home. If this is home going, this isn't a bad thing. I feel more rested. I felt more rested down there in the floor. I mean, honestly, I'm down there saying, wow. I mean, they said, sir, can you help us get you up into a chair so we can see what's going on here? And I couldn't move. So they had to get me up, you know. And then they put me on the gurney and put me in the back of the meat wagon. They turn on the siren, my dog howls. Oh. And they're hauling me to the hospital and telling them there's a stroke alert. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, Lord, if you want me home, it's okay. See, I'd cleared something in my heart, personal between me and God. I didn't hold on to it intentionally. I just hadn't got down to that. Everybody know about really getting down. I know there are things that you can get. You think you're serious. You can get more serious than you are now.
Oh, yes.
You can get way more serious than you are now. And I was real serious. And it wasn't because of a fear of dying. I just didn't want to stand before God with anything in my heart. Because there's only one thing that's going to get me and you into heaven. That's His grace and mercy. You can't show Him nothing that says you deserve it. And I can't either. You could win 10,000 souls and it won't earn you heaven. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we can get through those gates. Can you say amen? Right. Hallelujah. But I just wanted to be clean. I had that desire. I want to be clean. If I don't make it to the hospital, I'm going to be standing before my King. And I want to stand before Him with a clean heart. I've got an opportunity. I'm going to use it. Amen. Praise God. Everybody else did most of the interceding for me. Amen. My intercession was getting thoroughly right with God. That was my part of it. If I could convince the people that need prayer to get thoroughly right with God. Amen. To get thoroughly right with God. Get real with God. Get right with God. Amen. I know prayers are going to be answered. I know God is going to come through. I know what He's capable of doing. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Have a heart for it. if it'll posture you so that God can legitimately bless you. How many would be down with this? That God could show His goodness to you and through that bring glory to His name. How many would like that to happen? I got to have it. God was good to me. I saw a great big old truck. I felt like getting a bumper sticker and putting it on my backside. I saw a big old F-250, $50,000 plus wheels on it that more than, if I had the wheels off of it, I could take a vacation to the Bahamas. You know them big old wheels that cost $500 each on this big old truck that cost $38,000 plus. And it said, God has been good to the Browns. And I thought, man, I could put one of them on my back and say, God has been good to the Venables. And I don't need that big truck. Because I'm going to tell you something, laying in that floor, God raising me up with no symptoms, with an arm that works and a mouth that works and a body that works, God has been good to the Venables. Can you say, man? God's been good to the Venables, Sister V. Amen. Laying in that floor with perfect peace in your heart, God has been good to the Venables. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And expecting this year for His blessings upon our life and our family, somehow God is going to bless this church and this ministry that's part of His blessing. Can you say, man, God's been good to us. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And David said, I couldn't face life in this fallen world if I didn't believe to see Psalm 27:13, I had fainted. It had crushed me. If I didn't believe, everybody say that spirit of expectation. Amen. If I didn't believe to see the glory of God in the goodness of God in the land of the living. Everybody know what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. We're not there yet. We're still here. We're not in the sweet by and by. We're in the nasty here and now. And God, David said, God gonna bless me right here, right now. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. In this fallen world, He prepares me a table. In the presence of mine enemies. We got enemies all around us. And God said, I want you to pull your chair up to my table and eat some children's bread. You want to really get your enemy? Don't try to be vengeful or begrudge. Forgive them so God can bless you. And then pull your chair up to God's table. And instead of them seeing you whining and pining away, them seeing you eating the good things of God, enjoying life, and that more abundantly. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yes. It said pray for them that despitefully use you. Do good to them that have done this to you. And by so doing, you'll heap coals of fire upon their head. It'll make them ashamed. Suddenly they'll realize, I've been messing with one of God's kids. God's blessing them anyway, in spite of it all. I don't want to lose my joy because somebody did something to me. But more than not losing my joy, I don't want to lose that place in my life that I can call upon Him and He can legitimately answer me. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to please my King. Amen. All right. In closing, we serve a mighty, wonderful, matchless God. God has instructed me to challenge every person in this room and to take the lead challenge for myself. To bring this church as a whole into a position where prayers can and will be answered here. That we might see His salvation, His deliverance, His help in our lives, His blessing. Till the joyful sound is heard from this congregation. And we shout unto God in here with the voice of triumph. For our God, even our own God, shall bless us. In spite of the devil, the demons, the minions in hell. We're talking about our God here. Can you say amen? We're not talking about two equal powers struggling over who's going to win over us. We're talking about a God who has conquered them through the cross in our behalf. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was going to ask how many people will go with us on this journey, but I don't want to put you on that spot. We're going on this journey. I'm not going to ask whether you're going with us. I'm going to pray that you will see the benefit and blessing. I'm going to encourage you this morning that God loves you enough to give His Son for you. He has an investment of His Son's suffering, death, and blood in behalf of your soul. You are very valuable to God. Your life is not over unless you give it over and give up on it. God wants to bless you. And God wants to bless me. And God wants to bless us. And then God wants to use us and make us a blessing to others, so that His name might be glorified and His people might get the help that they need. I'm going to put a P.S. right at the very end. Your finances are important to God. He cares about that issue. He don't want you to have the world's values so that He can truly bless you. He cares about your finances. He cares about mine. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not the top shelf with God. It's not the primary thing He marks us with. But I'm going to tell you something. David said, I was young. Now I'm old. I've lived a lifetime. I have never seen something in terms of the relationship of God's people to Himself. I've never seen something. I've seen God's people impoverished, but that's when they were wrong with Him. But I've never seen them that way, right with Him. Can you say amen? Everybody say right with God. Hallelujah. I'm young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. One commentary said the uncompromisingly righteous. And that kind of thins us down a bit, doesn't it? It's not just sitting in church. It's following Christ. Can you say amen? It's obeying God. Where there's compromise, let's take a hold of that. Let's bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm tired of playing church and playing games. I need reality. I need help. Can you say amen? I'm tired of blaming you. Lord, I want to get right with you and I want to put you to the test because I know you'll pass it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Neshalama kasetia ola baranda senda da barosha kela basitianda. Never seen it. Never seen it in my whole lifetime. Get right with God. He'll take care of you. Put His kingdom first and all the things you need shall be added to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's where we're headed. That's where this preacher's going. And I pray that this church will go with me this coming year. I pray the listening audience on the radio, wherever that reaches Christians, that they will receive the blessing from the Lord. That His name be glorified. Everywhere you see Christians gathered together, you see, amen, the glory of the Lord manifesting as He meets their needs. He helps them and delivers them. Amen. Would you stand to your feet today? Brother, I want you to bring those two letters right now. Here's a good time to pray. Amen. We're trying to get a lady into the United States of America. This man's passion is to have her here. He hit something called red tape, bureaucracy, all the things you got to go through. There's a lot of people here didn't go through anything. They just showed up. And I'm not down on those people. I'm just saying it seemed pretty easy for some folk. But there's other folk that just as much right to be here as anybody else has to be here, going through the proper channels and can't hardly get through the channels. Well, I believe God can open up those channels. We prayed for it. We're going to pray over these letters that are going to be submitted. Stretch your hand this way and let's just believe to see the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Want to just touch this? Few people, just come and touch these envelopes. Amen. We have not because we ask not, and I don't believe we're asking amiss, because I believe this will bring honor to God. I believe it will bring glory to God. I believe this may man wants to tell everybody what the Lord has done through this answer to prayer. Hallelujah. Father, this is a win-win. Lord, he will have an answer to prayer. Your name will be glorified. So that the name of the Father might be glorified in the Son, we say in the name of Jesus, Lord, let these letters sail through the process. And let there be a positive answer back in not many days. Not because of our impatience, but because of your goodness and because of your grace. In the name of Jesus, we'll give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Send them forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did I give you? All right, let's give him praise. You can leave anytime you want, but I want to praise him before we leave here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many?